Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. Our guest today, Carolyn Salvador, she is a CEO of Enduring Hearts. Enduring Heart's mission is to ensure that within the next decade, a child's longevity will not be impacted by a heart transplant. There's a lot more to it that I want her to share. Carolyn, thanks for spending a few minutes with us today.
Derek, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being able to share our mission here.
I love spotlighting missions like this that have an impact. I have a real soft spot for children and for these kinds of things. It's hard sometimes to talk about these things. A lot of times people don't want to focus on it, but there's a real need. Tell us first, though, before we talk about Enduring Hearts, tell us a little bit about you, your background, and then we'll get right into your mission.
Well, sure. It's much easier to talk about the mission, but I'll just share kind of a brief background about myself. Had a couple different careers. First part of my life, I was an entrepreneur. Before that, corporate America. Did that for a part and found that be great background for my entrepreneurship. Really wanted to work for myself, grew up having a family of people that work for themselves. Owned actually businesses, owned a large childcare facility. So really was a kid crusader, starting off early in my life, and did that for about a decade. And was really had a great opportunity to sell my business at a great time, and thought I was kind of out of that working in early care, and kind of got roped into the nonprofit role to lead the state of Georgia as the executive director of the state's association working with all small businesses in early care. And so that was a wonderful opportunity for me to both use my entrepreneurial skills to help small businesses become better providers of care, but also become a child advocate and really strengthen that role. And I did that for about 7 or 8 years. And was doing that role. And then someone brought to me the opportunity to do something even greater for children, which was Enduring Hearts, was started here. It's a national charity, but started in the Atlanta area, and was really looking for a professional nonprofit leader that could take and grow their brand, because they fund research really globally. And when I started looking at that description of really being able to help children live longer lives. And the more I started reading about it and understanding the problems, and I think, not a lot of people understand a heart transplant doesn't last forever, and it is truly a race against time, I was just bought in immediately. So, having most of my young adult life working in nonprofits as a volunteer and really understanding the impact that I could make, really dedicating, the rest of my career to doing this, there was no way I could pass up this opportunity to really help families. And I think, as we were talking before this interview started, it's a really serious charity, but there's one that there's no other organization like it. There's a lot of other organizations that are out there that are focused on children's heart, but Enduring Hearts is the only organization that's driving pediatric heart transplant research across the globe. And it's so pressing. So,
tell me about, present the challenge, if you don't mind. Like, if it's the only one that exists, what is the challenge? A lot of people don't know about this. We think about a transplant, we're like, awesome, problem solved. But what's the real challenge?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, let me just back up for a second and tell you our quick story, kind of how it started. So Enduring Hearts was founded because a young family was on a family vacation at Disney celebrating a sale of a business. So they, they thought everything was great, and their youngest daughter started having shortness of breath. Fast forward, mom actually convinced dad to go to the, to a children's hospital in Orlando, and they found out she was in heart failure. So worst family's nightmare, they thought they had two healthy children. And they, kind of fast forward, they were told that no, this heart failure, her only chance of survival was a heart transplant. Wow. So their worlds were flipped upside down. And like I'd say 99% of the people that are out there think, oh, well, you get this heart transplant and then you go on your way, you're cured. And they quickly started, you know, doing the research and Googling, and they found out at that point in time, a heart transplant was lasting 11 years. 11 years for a two-year-old is not a lifetime, totally not acceptable. And they're like, well, surely someone's working on this problem to fix it. And there were other organizations that were dabbling around the edges doing work on congenital heart defects, which is the most prevalent birth defect, but they were not fixing the problem. And so pretty much at bedside, the GANs decided that they were going to create an organization that was really laser focused on funding research to do it. So the research is really focused on a couple top priorities that the scientific community deems are necessary to fix a problem. Organ rejection is really the evil foe that we fight. Okay. And so if you think about it from kind of that scientific standpoint, as soon as we put something in our bodies that are not ours, our amazing white blood cells say, hey, not me. Right? Not me. And they start to fight it. Okay. And so what happens is, you know, we are given these drugs to suppress our immune system from fighting it. And so there's forever this battle, internal battle in our body to say, you know, to keep our own body from, you know, fighting it and rejecting it. And so there's this thing that goes on. But the problem is we can't really figure out what the right mix is to be able to do that. And so for kids with any kind of, you know, organ that's, you know, they have transplanted, it's an ongoing battle of organ rejection. Well, for heart transplants, right now, because of research, we've changed it from 11 years to 17 years. Wow. Still not. And then, you know, because we can't really quite get the right immune suppressant drugs, because there's really not a great way to detect organ rejection can look like a stomach bug.
Wow.
It can look like a stomach bug. And so anytime a child has maybe a fever or a stomach bug, mom and dad will have to figure out, is it that, or do I need to bring my child in to the hospital to have a heart biopsy? And heart biopsies where they take a piece of the heart, they put it under a microscope. And so no family wants to undergo that. So, you know, those tests right now are once a year if there's nothing wrong, or if mom and dad determine that there's something going on, they have to do that. And that's a very flawed test. So we invest a lot of money into blood biomarkers and things that can earlier detect it. So a child doesn't have to undergo having a piece of their heart taken out every time a parent suspects that. So there's a lot of different ways that we kind of are attacking the problem from a scientific research standpoint. And then there's the sad pipeline issue of there just aren't enough donor hearts available for children that are waiting, or for children to get retransplanted, because a lot of people will go, oh, well, they just get another one and another one. And the really sad reality is that less than 5% of children get the chance for a retransplant.
Wow.
And, you know, do you have children?
I have a 10 and a 12-year-old. So, yeah, that's, you know, we talk often on the show about, you know, having balance in life, and whenever you know, you gave that first example of celebrating a business, and that seems like such an important thing. This is a business leadership series. But when we don't have our health, or when we have a sick family member, nothing else matters. Like, the only priority is focusing on that.
No, and they, you know, this family had the means to get the absolute very best care for their daughter that he could have retired then. And he chose to throw his energy into creating Enduring Hearts, not just for his daughter, Maya, but for all children. And, you know, he really basically created another company to start Enduring Heart, you know, to keep it going. And, you know, every time he's in a business situation, he talks about Enduring Hearts, and he figures out a way, you know, hey, do business with me, and can you give some money to Enduring Hearts? It really, it really is, you know, a way to keep a charity going and to make, and to bring others under understanding the problem. And it is truly a race. And, you know, think about a pipeline is that, you know, when my children were little, I never thought about, and I never wanted to go there as a family of, you know, if something happened to them, would I make them an organ donor? And right now, that's what has to happen. In the bleakest moment for a family, they have to selflessly donate their child's organs. So, you know, there's a lot of different pieces to this puzzle. And it is truly, you know, we need to give these children the best chance for a full lifetime, one that we want for our own children. Right. And so that's what Enduring Hearts does. And so we partner with the best and the brightest minds all over the globe to solve the problem. And we also look at it, we run it like a business because we're founded by business people. You know, we were business people. I am a business person. Not that I was, I am. And we look at leveraging every dollar that we raise. So we partner with big organizations, American Heart Association. In fact, in the past couple years, I've worked with their leadership to say, hey, come alongside of us. And if we put up money, will you actually fund and dedicate funds in this space? So this past year, we launched a $3 million initiative where in the past they've never dedicated funds to pediatric heart transplant research. We got them to commit $1.5 million to this, which is huge. Wow. You know, which is huge. It's less than we couldn't even hardly find the statistic. But so it's, you know, it's such a very, very small amount of funds federally that are committed to these children, and it's simply not fair. And it's, you know, they don't get second or third chances. So we need to make this first heart transplant last.
It's a heavy topic, Carolina. I have a few questions for you around that. Just thinking going into the day to day, and I know that you're on the business side too, but how do you, you know, I don't deal in this every day. I'm dealing in new markets and growing in the fun stuff and the stuff which it does matter, but it doesn't, right? It's moving clothing lines and pizza things and stuff like that, and you know, restaurants. And how do you be encouraged? What do you hang on to day by day? It can be grim sometimes. I know a lot of our healthcare world itself feels that way with everything going on right now, with just fatigue and sadness. And it can seem like a impossibly daunting task to roll your sleeves up and do every day. What I want to know your mindset. Like, what is the mindset of the people that work in this each day? How do they stay encouraged, and how do you keep that focus and keep the vision and be encouraged?
I guess, you know, for myself, I've always been a kid crusader. You know, that's just oldest child, you know, have, you know, owned a childcare center, just fight for the underdog. Yeah. So, you know, that's my mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, I would want someone in my corner doing that if it were my child. Right. So I think I have that mindset. So, you know, it is heavy. We have family programs that are out there that, you know, we do gas cards for families to help them travel back and forth to transplant centers. Mm-hmm. So we work with, there's probably about 600 families in our network across the U.S. that we give cards to quarterly, which help them because they can travel. Think about, like, in Atlanta, we might have, you know, Children's Healthcare is the hospital here, or, you know, Dallas. They're traveling really long periods to get to that transplant.
Sure.
Very, very onerous for them. And, you know, you have very low income families that are traveling. Transplant can cost $750,000 to $1 million. It's very expensive. And there's the cost of those immune suppressant drugs every single day. Plus children that are, they're very compromised because they have to have a lot of other, you know, they're behind in their emotional. Think about all the drugs they're having very early on in their lives. They're behind social, emotionally, you know, so many other pieces of the pie that they need with all the other components of, it's not just one doctor's, it's many doctors. I just talked to a board member today. His daughter has eating and GI issues. So they're going to those doctors. There's just an array. So, you know, we get oftentimes with our gas cards, please take me off the list. My child has died. And, you know, the whole office erupts and we cry. You know, we cry. It's, you know, we're not, you know, you're not impervious to those feelings. Yeah. So I think, but on the flip side, we get families that write us in and are so grateful and thankful of what we're doing. So I think those are empowering. Or we celebrate the milestones of this child is going off to college. They're getting to do these things and talking to families that are, you know, that are encouraged. And with science, like, we know that that's the answer. We know that research. Right. So it's not beyond hope, because we look at what's happened when Enduring Heart started. It was 11 years and now it's 17 years. So because there has been so little investment in the space, so little. And now, because we're driving it, it is hopeful. So it's not that it's without hope. In fact, it's the opposite. It's actually, it feels, so I want to flip it for a second.
Please,
because
please.
we know that research is the answer, and I can see the research coming through and the breakthroughs. And, you know, and because once there is investment, it's going to start snowballing. So if you think about now with CRISPR and the things that are happening and genomics, like we're getting smarter and smarter. We just need to put funding behind it.
Right.
So once that happens, there will be answers that will unlock the keys to organ rejection. Children are living longer. There is great hope in all of that. It's absolutely not hopeless. It's that we just have to be able to get more people to come alongside of us and do it. So once they do, and for us, and we talked about marketing and branding, like that's one of our things that, I want to focus on is getting our mission out there and getting awareness, because once people hear about it, I feel like they'll be, energized and say, how can I help you? What can we do? And that's really the key, is to get people say, oh my gosh, look, how can I help? What can we do to help these children, to help fund research, to become a partner with your organization? Because there is hope. There's lots that we can do to give these children a great chance.
Well, thank you for sharing the hope part. And that was going to be my next question. I want to say I have two healthy children, and to those that might stumble upon this or are listening and have had to either make the difficult decision, an unthinkable decision, I can hardly say it without feeling, without crying right now, is of being deciding to be a donor. In that tough moment. And to those who might be dealing with this right now with their child, who did get a transplant, just our hearts go out to you. I'm glad that you're doing something here to create awareness and a solution. And I like that hope part. How can somebody get involved if they're hearing this I don't know how it can't tug at your heart, but what can you do? I mean, donate, can you get involved? Can you create awareness? Where do they go? What can someone do right now that feels compelled?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for, certainly, I'd love to share, reach out to me, I'll give you my email. It's Carolyn, Carolyn, at enduringhearts.org. Reach out to me. We're looking at developing our corporate partnership program. You can donate at donateheart.org. Go to enduringhearts.org and check us out. We're creating right now our plans for Heart Month in February. So, we're really looking for opportunities for companies to create that, corporate responsibility and partnership around Heart Month. National Giving Tuesday is the last Tuesday in November. So we're going to launch a really large campaign there, which is public awareness and raising of funds. World Heart Day is September 29th. So look for an initiative there. We're going to be launching. We're going to be sending these giant heart pillows out to children at all the transplant centers. So give from the heart to children. It's actually going to be cough pillows in the hospital. So they're actually functional. And so we're going to have some fun with that. So, there's a lot of ways to get involved that, will be coming soon. But certainly, email me if you're interested in hearing more. And go to enduringhearts.org. So that was Carolyn, Carolyn, at enduringhearts.org.
Awesome. Thank you, Carolyn. Anything final that you want to share with us?
No, I just appreciate so much your time, and giving me the opportunity to talk about, the fact that transplants are not a lasting cure, but Enduring Hearts is really driving the research across the globe to change that reality. Where our goal, again, is to make sure that a children's heart transplant, their longevity will not be impacted in the next decade. So thank you for letting me take
the
time.
Thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us today. We'll share all of those links. And thank you again for being our guest, Carolyn.
Much appreciated. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.